Greetings from Church of the Resurrection, and thank you for taking time to listen to this message. We hope you find this message meaningful and relevant. We invite you to join us in worship at any time. We are located just south of 135th Street between Roe and Nall Avenue in Leawood, Kansas. If you have any questions or comments, or you would like a DVD of this service, you may reach us by phone at 913-897-0120. Please ask for the Well Bookstore or visit our website at www.cor.org, where you will find a link for our catalog. To honor all copyright restrictions, we have removed some audio elements from this sermon.
At this time, we're going to prepare ourselves to hear the message that the shepherds heard. In the last few weeks, we have heard about the actual announcement itself, and then Mary's journey. And then last week, it was Joseph's journey. And now this week, we're going to hear about the shepherds.
The gospel story is told through Luke. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they were known abroad the saying which was told to them concerning this child. And they all heard it and wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. May God add his blessing to the hearing and the experiencing of the Gospel of Luke. You may be seated.
I would invite you now to take out your sermon notes that you might be able to follow along as we go down through the sermon. And note, too, that the study guide itself is being done through the Advent Devotional Guide, which you can see the website there at the bottom of your sermon notes, and you can find those guides this week online. And also, there probably are a few booklets of that Advent Devotional Guide left out there in the connection point. And please feel free to either take one of them if you are a visitor or give one as a gift. And I know you will be blessed. A couple of years ago, Adam gave a sermon series called Lessons from the Farm. Do y'all remember that? It was great fun. You know, we heard about his tractor and how he got stuck in the mud and about getting down in the dirt and all of the things that was able to teach us. Well, all of that is a great lesson, and it is about that time that I remember Adam was thinking about having this sermon series about sheep, or he was thinking about even getting a flock of sheep. And, you know, so we talked about what that is like, about getting a flock of sheep, and my sisters had a flock of sheep, and this happened after I left the farm, and so I heard about it, but I was thankful I was off of the farm, because it is hard work being a shepherd, and that's what we're going to learn about today, is those lessons about being a shepherd. When we think about the lessons of the scriptures, there are over 454 references to either pastures or sheep or somehow being a shepherd. And that's a lot of messages that somehow the scripture writers are trying to get across to us, something very important about the mentality and the characteristics of being a shepherd. On your sermon notes, you'll notice that I have listed many of the scriptures that I think are most important. And right now, I'd just like to highlight those very quickly for you. First of all, you'll see the Genesis one. And in Genesis 4, we, right from the very beginning of the Bible, we see how Adam and Eve's son, Abel, was a shepherd. And there was this other son, Cain, who was a gardener. Well, there was this jealousy, this rivalry between the brothers. And we know that eventually the gardener, Cain, ended up killing the shepherd, Abel. And it was in that story that we begin to see something is up with this whole idea of being a shepherd. We go on down to David, and we see in 1 Samuel that he is the youngest, and he is given the task of being the shepherd, the keeper of the livestock, it says in the scriptures. Now, in the ancient Near East, it really is an amazing thing when you think of the shepherd's life, because it's kind of built up to being just a beautiful kind of lifestyle almost, but it was rugged. And David, in a sense, gives us a glimmer of that. There is a place really where if you are a shepherd at that time, it's almost untouchable that who you are, because you smell like sheep. And you are usually dirty, and you know, you can imagine the grime underneath your fingernails and all of that, because you could see on the film this morning that that shepherd really had to face the elements in kind of some brutal ways. So it was a very unlikely thing then that this shepherd boy, David, would be anointed to be the king of Israel. And so here we see something interesting happening with who we are when we think of a shepherd. And then throughout the Psalms, you'll see numerous pastoral references. Of course, there's the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. Isn't that just like balm to our ears when we hear those words? And yet again, there's this other message. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And so we know, again, something's up with being a shepherd. And we're trying to get to exactly what the scripture writers are trying to say to us. And then we go on to the prophet Ezekiel. He has strong images about what it means to be a false shepherd or a good shepherd. Now, being a good shepherd, there is something about being so close to God. But there is this other place of being a false shepherd where your animals are starving and unhealthy. And while God, who is the true shepherd, looks after the least and the lost, making sure every one of them is taken care of and providing for all. So right away we get again the picture that even if you're called to be a shepherd and you take it on, you may not be a good shepherd at some points. And the heart of the good shepherd is what we're trying to get at. What does it look like to be a good shepherd? Then in the New Testament, you will see the Luke scriptures. And again, you know, it's wonderful. If you came to Christmas at Resurrection, these wonderful shepherds, they got to see the angels. And there was this wonderful, glorious, you had this image in your mind of what that must have been like when the angels all came and they heard this message from God and how glorious it must have been. And then they were the first guest of the child. And what a blessing that must have been. And yet again, we see on the screen that there is something rugged about their lifestyle and that truly that shepherd had been facing elements. And then on down in John 10, you see that Jesus himself refers to himself as the good shepherd. And what this means in John 10, there is a hireling and there is the good shepherd. And they are put up against each other almost. And you get this image of what being a hireling is or what being a good shepherd is. Last year at the Willow Creek Summit that we had in the fall, there was one particular person who had a great sermon about this and talked a lot about what it means to be a hireling on a job or it means to be the good shepherd. Being a hireling means it's kind of like that Proud Mary song, you know, working for the man every night and day kind of mentality where you go in and essentially all you're doing is going in and waiting for the paycheck every 2 weeks. really doesn't mean that you're going to connect with your job and your role in the way that a good shepherd was, because the person who is the good shepherd in whatever role you are in, there's a different mentality. And I guess probably the example I could best give you about that was when I was a young physical therapist and I started at the VA in Leavenworth. And at first, all the Vietnam vets were coming home, and you know, it was really interesting, and I enjoyed working with them, but pretty soon it became humdrum, and all of their pain and all of their stories about the war, I began to block it out, and I became a hireling. It was like I would go to work and I would go through the motions, but I was not truly about being a healer. I wasn't able to really connect with the people who God was sending to me. And then when I was about 27, I had a major shift in my spiritual life, and it really helped me take on that mentality of a good shepherd. For every person that would walk in the door and every vet and every story, I wanted to hear how it was that somehow God had affected their life. And it was about healing inside and outside. And so there was this different mentality somehow that God was able to give me. It is somehow this kind of understanding of what it means to be a producer for God and truly connected to people as a good shepherd that makes all the difference. And then that last little scripture is Revelation 5, and it's where the writer refers to Jesus as the worthy Lamb of God, and who he sits on the throne of God, and it's willing to do the hard work of salvation no matter what that is. And we know that in this scripture he says, I have come that you might have life. And what does that look like as a good shepherd? To have the ability to give life to others. This kind of imagery is throughout the whole scripture text. And so I would invite you this year, if you start in January and you read the Bible through from January to January, think about what the shepherd imagery means and how it could really affect your life and how that role of being a good shepherd is used. Because there's an important purpose that the writers of scriptures are trying to give us here. The commentators themselves give us some examples of why the shepherd imagery is used over and over. And one of the most important reasons that the commentators talk about is that there is this important message that the writers are trying to say to us. This is completely out of the box, folks. It being a shepherd is not about having power. It is not about having things brought to you. It is about being different in the world somehow. And so what we need to do is try to unpack why this message is so counterculture to what we would expect. It is about power and receiving the message in a whole different way. And so I want us now to dig just a little bit deeper into the scriptures and this shepherd imagery so we can figure out what it will mean for us. I've learned from my sisters that there is an important characteristics. There are important characteristics that all shepherds have to have if you're going to make a go of it. And when my nephews and my sisters had these sheep, we would go home on the farm in the summers and we would kind of get caught up in the shearing and in that summertime activity. And we would kind of get on some fun times. Here you can see on the screen, there's some pictures of those fun times that we had. You can see this is after the shearing and the children are out there washing the lambs, and you can see the lamb in the background, but our daughter Jessica and Justin is the taller one, and then John is my other nephew, and they were having great fun just scrubbing up this little lamb and getting it ready. And then the next picture you'll see where they actually are in the show ring and they're showing their lambs at the county fair. And so there's this thing that you think, wow, this could be really fun to have some sheep and really be able to have that time when you can just get to know these little critters. And yes, it is, I think, fun in some respects. But look at the list of characteristics on your sermon notes, because that's what we're going to go down through. And I think you'll see that there's more to it than just this fun. First of all, you have to be very watchful as a shepherd. You have to know exactly where your little flock is all the time. And so if you have a flock, you have to go out and you have to look at them morning and night, and you have to count. Because these little critters, they like to get out of the fence. And they will find every little nook and cranny and be able to get to the next person's farm just very quickly. And so you have to be watchful and attentive. Also, in that watchfulness comes lambing season about February or March. And in lambing season, let me tell you, that is where the watchfulness happens. Because the farmers set their clock every 2 hours. You know, John would set his clock for midnight, and then Justin for 2 o'clock, and then my sister for 4 o'clock, and then it would start all over again. Because throughout the night, these ewes, the lambs, the female lambs would go into labor. And if you did not know this, you would really be in a world of hurt, because they need help in having these babies. And so there is this key element of being watchful. And then the next thing that you have to have if you are a shepherd is you have to be hopeful. Being a farmer is just all about hope. You know, there is this hope that the rain will come at the right time. And there is this hope that the grass will grow and that you can get your flock to where it's supposed to be at the right time. There is this hope that somehow they will all grow and they won't get sick. And there is this hope that somehow you'll always be healthy to take care of them. And it is hope, hope, hope. Well, the shepherds of the ancient Near East even had one more hope, because about that time in the hills of between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, most of the shepherds were Hebrew, and they hoped for a Savior, because somehow in all of their learning of being Hebrew, they knew that something was about to happen. A Messiah was about to happen. There's this great scene in the movie The Nativity where Mary is very, very pregnant, and she's having a conversation with one of these shepherds, and she says, you know, I hope that this baby inside of me will make a difference in all the lives, and I just know something is supposed to happen important from this child. And the shepherd says, I too hope, because I believe that something will happen that will make a difference in my life, and it will give my life meaning. And that is what happened, truly. This Christ child that she was bearing would give the shepherds meaning in a whole new way in their lives. The next characteristic on your list you will see is being calm and grace-filled. And how important that is to any shepherd, because if you start being crabby to these little lambs when they're getting out and they're running to somebody else's farm, they are not going to have anything to do with you. If you're mean to them, they really respond to this calm, grace-filled, loving kind of shepherd. And so you have to maintain composure. And when one of them's, you know, down in some hole 3 days in a row, and it's usually the same lamb in the same hole, you have to remain calm and pick that little lamb up and bring them out and be able to just nurture them along. And they respond to you. They hear your voice. They know your voice. And sure enough, in time, you will have a relationship with each one of them. And then on down, we will see the characteristic of just. Now, you think about a good shepherd and you think, okay, well, how could a good shepherd be just? Well, come feeding time and you put all of the grain in the trough, and, you know, first there's going to be the biggest sheep, and there's always going to be a bully in every crowd, and they're going to run to the front of the and just push all of the other little lambs out. Well, a good shepherd has to make sure that justice prevails and that every one of them gets something to eat and that it truly will bless all of them, as that good shepherd has that mentality of being just and responsive and not reactive, realizing that there is a bigger vision than just caring for one little lamb. It is about this bigger flock. And then finally, the last two characteristics of being a good shepherd is this willingness to be radically available. Radically available, and then to have this unfailing, unconditional, grace-filled love. Being radically available when you're about 14 or 15 on the farm really means a lot. Because when you're 14 or 15 and you get home from school, and it's dark out, you have to be able to go out and feed those lambs. And if you come home from basketball practice, you have to know that it's going to be darker and colder out. And in the morning, it's going to be the same thing. You're going to have to get up and feed them all. And if it's a day like today, you're going to have to get up and take a shovel and just pluck at that ice on the water to make sure they all get something to drink. And so it is that kind of radical availableness that is so important. And you just try doing that 365 days a year. That is being radically available. Because if you're not there, you have to make sure that maybe your neighbor can come over in their spare time, of course, and make sure that everything is done. So it is this kind of radical availableness that is so important that my sister's boys were learning throughout all of their experiences. And so in this radical availableness, you know, you think, if you do not love your animals and if you do not love the flock itself, it just won't sustain itself. You have to learn to love all of it. You have to love getting up and that they are counting on you. You have to love that somehow you are the one that is going to make a difference. You have to love your role as the good shepherd because it makes all the difference in the world to this little flock of lambs. And so it is that piece of being radically available and radically in love with this little flock that truly makes it all happen. Okay. So how many of us are going to go out and buy a herd of sheep or a flock of sheep? How many are ready to do this? You know, for me, I'm not ready to sign on the dotted line to be a shepherd of the real flock. But truly, this shepherd imagery works for us. You know, it works when we think of really it is about being a shepherd to the vets when I needed to be and caring for them when I needed to be. You know, you think of the people we're in touch with every day. It's about being a teacher and being radically available in all ways. It is about being an ER doc or a nurse and knowing that truly people are counting on you. It is about being an attorney when you have to be just. You have to be able to be calm when everybody else is not. And so there is this piece of really all of us taking on these roles. This last week, Les and I were out very late at night, about 11 o'clock at night, and there was this clerk who was waiting on us in Target, and you could tell she was weary from the day, but here at the very end of the day, Les handed her his driver's license, and she said to him, "Thank you so much for being an organ donor." And she said, "I'm awaiting a kidney transplant." And there was this place between them where it became not an ordinary one more person going through her line, but she took the time to just build that connection. And so it is for all of us, whatever role we're playing, that we truly can be that good shepherd for whoever's in our line. Well, I want us to go one step further. To the people who are out of our vision today, to those who we know somehow are serving in a shepherd role, and yet we can't see them. And so I want you to turn over your sermon notes to the prayer guide that is right in front of you. And you will see in that list, right there in the center, there is a military list for us. And every week there are new people. And every week there are some that go off. After the last service, there was a young man who said he was on that list last year. But this year, that list is bigger than ever. And these people, all of these young men and women, they are taking on a role that is truly about being a shepherd in a whole different way. Out in the narthex, we have this little magazine called The Vision that you can get it at the very far entrances. And in it, this month's issue is the story of Tom McGee. And Tom calls himself a reluctant soldier. He says he did not want to go to Afghanistan. He did not want to go to Iraq. And yet he has found himself there. He has taken disciple one, 2, 3, 4, 5, and was in Christian Believer when he was sent the first time. And he finished taking his class over there. And I am sure for Tom that the words peace on earth, goodwill towards all, means something completely different as he is there and he is giving that message of hope and peace in a whole different way. You know, if Tom is like me, there's almost a collision in my mind when I think of the violence and the war and all of this come together. And yet there is this peace where it is not about the war. It is about being a good shepherd wherever we are. And how does God place us in these different positions and help us live out being a Christian in ways that we can't even imagine when we first start into the journey? Just recently, too, we had a message from a young man, Sam Stilley. Sam's family was in the last service here this morning, and Sam actually was one of our candle lighters last Christmas, at Christmas Eve. And he said, you know, this Christmas I will not be there with you, but you'll see Sam's name on that list, and he's in Iraq right now, and we want to be able to know that Christmas for him will mean something different this year. And one of our family shepherds, who you saw early in the sermon, is also serving now. If we could see that picture on the screen, you'll see here John in the red shirt. He is a Marine pilot, and he will be deployed to Iraq in February. And the next picture shows his family, Tisha, his wife, and his four little boys. And they are facing something they never thought they could face. Tom and John both are strong Christians, and Sam. And all of them together are thinking, how does this look in our minds? When I asked Tisha, John's wife, I said, how are you doing with this? And she said, you know, I talked to my dad, who is a Vietnam vet, and he said to her, you will do okay, because it is all the prayers. They are devout Catholics, and these children on the screen, they know what it is to be in church. And John will go there with a mentality of being the good shepherd. He will be radically available. He has learned in his lifetime what it means to love and be radically available, to be calm under pressure, to be able to do what is asked of you in a place that you can't even imagine. And it is this kind of mentality that all of the people, I would think, on that bulletin, they have that kind of mentality. And they've worshiped here. They know what it means to be a shepherd in a land far away. Today, I would ask all of us to remember these who will not be with their families and to pray for them during the holiday season. Merry Christmas, Tom. Merry Christmas, Sam and John. It is this important message that the shepherds brought to us 2,000 years ago of what it means, peace on earth, goodwill towards all. How will you live that role out this year? Will it be in your home with whoever enters your door? Is there peace that needs to come to your table? Will it be somehow as you serve in the next few days and you hustle about and whoever you come in contact with, there will be a message that the shepherds heard and that you have heard and that you can give to all of those. It is about the message of the Christ child who came to give to us all those things that we have remembered as we have lit the Advent candle. There is hope, peace, joy, and love. And it is with this that all of us can give our lives to this. And surely, this will save not only us, it will save the whole world. Let's pray. Oh, most gracious, holy God, we are so thankful to be able to come to you and know that your child, Jesus the Christ, came that we might know hope, peace, joy, and love. Help us, O God, as we know that these candles have been lit in our own life now, and that it is our task to go out and live it for the world. We give you all this with thanksgiving for your Son, Jesus the Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.